It's Christmas. I can't believe it. But it's here, so we're going to celebrate it. And we're going to enjoy it. I want to start with three statements today as we start our... This month we'll be doing a series just for the month of December. So by way of introduction into that, let me start with just three statements. The first one is, our lives strive for normal, but they're defined by the exceptional. It's the exceptional moments to our normal routines that really decide who we are as people. Test who we are as people, as God's people. Second one is this, we strive for balance, but true convictions demonstrated in the extreme. True conviction doesn't look for compromise, doesn't look for the easy way out. True conviction is courageous, and it'll stand even in the face of resistance if it's true, if it's real. Third one is this, true joy isn't experienced in the comfort of the familiar, but in the triumph over the unexpected. You've probably had those moments where life is falling apart, and you recognize that maybe I should be more concerned or panicked than I am right now. There's that inner settledness. That's called the joy of the Lord that gives us strength, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of suffering, even in the face of confusion, even in the face of not knowing what to do next. Joy holds us. The title we've given to this series is Joy Unexpected or Unexpected Joy. And we want to look at some of the characters who were involved in that first Christmas and see how that relates to their lives. These first three statements certainly apply to those who experienced that first Christmas. Let's always understand, we have Christmas highlighted on our calendar. We get countdowns till Christmas through media and through commercials and advertisements. To them, Christmas was unexpected. It wasn't on their day timer. It wasn't on a list of things to do. They didn't do a whole 3 or 4 weeks of lead-in of decorating and preparing and buying gifts and all the things that we do. It was unexpected, and it called out of them an exceptional character. Extreme courage was called on, and the result of their lives was this supernatural joy. Christmas came. Now, even though it was unexpected, it wasn't unknown. These were good Jewish people. They knew their history. They knew and had studied their Old Testament prophecies. And the Old Testament was very clear about Christmas coming. It'd be hard to miss, in all honesty. Just a short list of some verses pulled out of the Old Testament. Genesis 22:18 says that God promised a Messiah. Genesis 49, he'd be a descendant of Abraham. It says that he'd come from the tribe of Judah. Isaiah says nations would seek counsel of Jesse's descendants, and that Messiah would be a descendant of King David, who was a descendant of Jesse. The Messiah would be preceded by a messenger, that he'd be born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. He'd be called the Son of God. He'd work and perform miracles. He'd be rejected by his own. He would enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey, betrayed by a friend. He'd stand silent before his accuser. He'd be numbered among the transgressors. He'd be spat upon. He'd be beaten. Psalm 22 gives a tremendous foreshadowing of his crucifixion. Isaiah 53 says that God's Messiah would be buried in a rich man's tomb. It's hard to miss. It's really hard to miss. I'm not sure what more we need or could want. There's this book called the Bible, and it's actually a compilation of books, of historical records, of poetry, of laws, of biographies, of letters, of prophecies. And it's written by a variety of people over a large span of time from different locations who didn't even know each other. And yet they tell one cohesive message pointing to one specific moment in time, to one specific person. There's over 400 Old Testament verses, at least 400, that foretell accurately the coming of Jesus into the world. It's like there are big neon beacon signs saying he's coming, and here's who he'll be. We shouldn't have been surprised when he showed up, and we shouldn't have a hard time identifying him today looking back with all of that evidence. You know, it's amazing how we believe things with much less evidence. We believe certain theories in science, and we build our lives around them, and there's no lasting evidence. If we went just by the law of averages of the Old Testament being accurate on that one point, it's hard to believe that it's not true. When you look at all the evidence and the odds of that just happening by chance, just being random, it wasn't unknown to them. However, it was unexpected. They understood Messiah coming, but yet when it unfolded, it was unexpected. They had no clue that maybe they were going to be directly involved and participants in this wonderful, wonderful gift that God was going to send. The unexpected joy of Christmas. Today's message under that series title is called Life Interrupted. I'm not going to read the text today because Tammy read it already. It's Luke 1:26-39. If you have your Bibles and want to refer to it on your own, but I'm not going to take time to go ahead and read it again. Let's pray and then we'll get into our lesson. Father, you are God. And you sent part of yourself. You sent your son. And we celebrate that today. And we ask that you would speak to us today from your word. We ask that you would make clear yourself in each life. I pray you give us hearing ears, receptive hearts, minds that want to learn and understand. I pray you give us spirit, a spirit that comes from you to hear and receive revelation. God bless this time and honor your name through it. In Christ's name, amen. If you have notes, we'll fill them in as we go along, if you like to do that. We're going to start with number one, the disruption of interruption. The disruption of interruption. Nobody I know likes being interrupted. Usually, we don't. Unless it's some out of the ordinary thing where suddenly someone shows up and says, hey, let me give you $1,000. Okay, you can interrupt me. You can really do that any time of the day, and I won't get angry. But usually, interruptions we don't really enjoy. Because they're things that stop or they hinder us. They break into life. They're things that interrupt. They're things that stop the continuous or forward motion or progress of whatever it is we're doing. They interrupt us. And life is filled with them. Every day sometimes is just filled with interruptions and nobody's exempt. Has there anybody in the room never been interrupted? It doesn't even seem possible. And there's all kinds of interruptions. There's just those little small annoying ones. You know, the sand in your shoe kind of things that they just bother you. They're no big life-altering things or anything, but they're just, you know, you had a hard day, you get home, you're just looking forward to relaxing for a couple of hours, you have your dinner, you put on your nice cuddly PJs, you sit in your chair and you're going to read or watch TV or something, and the doorbell rings. You're interrupted. It just breaks the flow of what was happening. We have a neighbor who we live sort of on an angled, and so our house is here and he's there. So his patio is sort of like, you know, a 90 degree angle from our house. And he loves his patio. And it's a nice patio in all honesty. And he loves to be out on his patio. And he every time he's on his patio, we know he is because he loves to play music. And he loves rhythm and blues, and he loves hip hop. And I know this. Now, in all honesty and fairness to my neighbor, he really tries to be sensitive. He doesn't blare it. It's not like the whole neighborhood's invited to his patio. It's a party going on. He really tries to be sensitive. So we don't really hear the music. I can never tell you what the song is he's listening to. But as a result, the only thing we can hear in our house is the boom, 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 boom. Just the bass comes through. You know, like when you're at a traffic light and the guy next to you and everything's shaking, rattling. You know, it's that. And so we're going on doing our thing, and suddenly you just, you know, boom, boom, boom. It's like, what's, and it's annoying. I'm not going to go over and yell at him or anything else, because like I said, he's not blaring it. For him, it's probably very soft, but it basically, you know, is omnidirectional, goes everywhere. It cuts through everything. And so we hear a lot of bass. Probably one of the advantages right now of it being wintertime is we probably won't hear bass for a little while, and then we'll see what happens in the spring. But those small, annoying interruptions, there's also those interruptions that demand from us. They're not little and they're not just annoying, but they demand something. They force you to stop, and you have to pay them attention and do something about it now. You know, if you go home today and you find out that your kitchen sink is leaking, you're not going to say, well, I'll get to that next week. There's some things you got to get to, and you have to get to now. You get your kids all ready in the morning, then you realize one of them has a fever. Now your day is all, you know, miscombobulated. Now you have to make all other kinds of arrangements. You know, a number of years ago, we tried to sell a house, and it was at the time where nobody was buying houses. Put a sign in front. We had a couple showings here and there, and just nothing. The market was flat and dead, and nothing was happening. So we left the sign out, and the house was actually on the market for well over a year. We forgot about it. I mean, really, the sign's there, but after a while, you don't even see things. We just sort of forgot about it. We're doing life. We're not looking. We're not planning. We're just, hey, we're here. Let's just go on. And one day out of the blue, our realtor calls us and she says, I have a contract and it's the price you want. You have 30 days to get out of your house. Oh, okay, let's wait on this for a little while. Things sometimes just come along and they say, you got to pay attention to me. You have to stop what you're doing and you have to take care of this now. That's an interruption. And then there's one more level. There's the interruptions that are life-changing. There's those interruptions that come along, and they actually disrupt our life. They actually come, and they have lasting effects. And it could be good or bad. It could be anything from delight to disaster. It could be everything from a birth of a baby to a death of a loved one. It covers the full gamut, but it's going to be life-altering. It's going to change the way you do life. It's going to cause you to have to come up with a new normal of how to do life. And all these kinds of interruptions, they seem to just be woven in life. They come to us. They're not always comfortable. They're not always welcome. Some are big deals. Some aren't such big deals. But mostly we dislike them. Mostly we would do away with interruptions. If we could, we'd rather avoid them. We like lives that are ordered. We like lives we can control. We like to know what's next. And we like to have some input into what's next. And so interruptions come and they take all that away from us. I read some information on interruptions in the workplace, which I guess is a big deal. And it says that it takes, on average, 23 minutes and 15 seconds to get back on task after an interruption. So if you're a boss and you have workers, you know when you peek your head in the door and just say, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you today. You just blew half an hour of his time. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but there was confirming information that I was able to find. The incarnation was an interruption. As much as we love saying, oh, Jesus came to earth, hallelujah, amen, it wasn't you. It was an interruption to life. Most of all the world, except for a couple of people, didn't even know what happened. They were totally unaware. But for Mary, to say it was an interruption is almost like an understatement. This wasn't just some little thing. This was huge to Mary. In the text, everything we know about Mary is pretty much in those first couple of verses of the first chapter of Luke. Verses, 26 and 27. She was a Jewess. She's from the tribe of Judah. She a descendant of David. She's a teenage virgin. She's engaged to a man named Joseph. In the second chapter of Luke, it gives some indication and tells us that she was from a poor family. She was not in a wealthy or well-to-do state, but that she was poor. She was quite common. And yet, the God of the universe sends a messenger from heaven to interrupt her day. Now, the good news in this for all of us is the primary qualifier for God to do big things and great things through you is you have to be ordinary. You have to be ordinary. And just look through Scripture, and you'll find that that's true. The men and women that God called largely were just very ordinary kind of people. So if you look in the mirror and you say, I'm fairly ordinary, it doesn't make any kind of a negative or derogative thing about you. It simply means you're eligible. You're eligible for God to use you for something extraordinary. Let's talk about this thing of interruptions. Go a little further. Let's drill down just a little bit deeper. Let's talk about the truth of interruptions. Three statements. Number one, life happens while you're making other plans. That's just the truth about interruptions. Life happens while you're making other plans. We think of interruptions as something outside of life, which is our first problem. They're really just part of the fabric of life. They're just we just can't predict them. We just don't always know they're coming, but they're really a part of life flow. If you look and study Jesus' life, his was a life of interruptions. He was continually being interrupted. Blind people were calling him from the side of the road. A desperate father with a daughter who is dying interrupted him and said, come to my house. While he's going to the house, a woman with an issue of blood interrupts him. He stops and says, who touched me? On and on again, there's just these interruptions. Jesus is in someone's house and he's just trying to teach, and suddenly a guy's lowered through the roof right in front of him. That's an interruption. Jesus' life was, now here's the trick. He didn't treat them as hindrances to his mission. He treated them as part of his mission. He didn't try to just put them off. He didn't just ignore them. He wrote them into a part of his life and made it work. And made it work according to the things that he was sent to do. He understood that life happens while you're making other plans, and was able to fit even interruptions into the course of who he was and what he came to do. The second one is that the challenge of interruption isn't to our calendar, but to our character. It isn't to our calendar, but it's to our character. People and things may interrupt our time, but even more, they reveal our character. Interruptions have a way of showing what's inside of us. Have you ever been on your way somewhere? Maybe you're going to work or you have an appointment or something, and suddenly traffic just stops. It just stops. And you find out there's something going on ahead, there's an accident, there's a breakdown of some sort, and you're waiting for emergency, and you can't turn around. You're just there. You're just there. That's the moment. That's the moment of testing. What do you do? What's happening inside you at that moment? Your life's been interrupted. Your plans are now getting put on hold. You don't know how long you're going to be there. What do you do? Get all anxious? Get all worried? You get mad at the emergency vehicles or the workers who are moving too slow? Do you get mad at the person who caused the thing and you're never going to meet? You don't even know what happened. But you get angry about it? See, it may be infringing on your time, but it's really revealing your character. Do you sit patiently? Do you think, maybe someone's hurt, and do you
offer up a little prayer? Do you call ahead and say, well, hey, I'm stuck in traffic. Be there when I get there. Have a great day. I love you. Yeah, do you sit there and say, well, I'm here. Let's make the time work for me. So you read something, you put on worship music, or you spend some time, extra time with just praying. You're captive at that moment. You make it work for you. You know, I wrote, put in my notes, God's funny. While I'm working this point in my message, while I'm developing this yesterday, and it was only during this period of my study time, while I'm doing this, my wonderful wife is in the other room, and she's Christmas shopping. You know, you can do that now without leaving the house. And she's learning that art. And she's getting more artful at it, which concerns me a little bit. But now here's what that means, though, because it happens when she goes to the store, too. Before she makes a purchase, she'll call me. You know, or she'll send me a picture of what it is she's thinking of getting. Well, she's just in the other room. So that means while I'm studying this out, every 2 to 3 minutes, she's walking in the office. And she's bringing her little laptop and she's putting it in front of me and she's showing me the different things. Well, you can get this one, or we can get this one, or this one's bigger, or this one's smaller, and this one does. Okay. And this happened a few times. I didn't realize it at the time, but then suddenly it stopped. And I realized, I'm done with that point. So I just had to smile. I just had to chuckle a little bit that sometimes God is a little humorous, even in our interruptions. By the way, my wife's allowed to interrupt me any time of the day. All right? Only my wife and grandkids. All right, Colossians 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. Why are we being told to do that? Because life is going to test us. Because interruptions are going to come. And they're going to demand that we respond properly. Listen, God didn't make your neighbor knock over your mailbox. But he's going to use the opportunity to reveal something in you. To build something in you. Let her see. Everything passes through the fingers of God. Everything passes through the fingers of God. Now that statement, as you hear it, if you're making notes and you're filling in the blanks, that's either going to comfort or discomfort you. And the thing that makes the difference is to what degree do you really trust God? To hear that everything passes through his fingers, how much do you trust him? See, if something could happen in your life or in the world or in the universe that's outside of God, then we have to question his sovereignty. Then we have to challenge of if he's really God. Since we know that that can't happen, what it tells us is that even though not everything in life has his endorsement, it does have his permission. You got it? Probably the greatest illustration in Scripture is the life of Job. We know the story of Job and all that he lost, and he lost a lot. He lost everything. And as you study the Scripture, the passage, God didn't initiate any of his troubles, but he allowed them. He gave permission for them to unfold. And yet we find Job just standing firm in his faith. How could he do that? Because even if he knew that much, well, God didn't cause this, but God's allowing it. How could you still stand in faith? Even that could upset you. God, how could you allow this? I know you didn't cause it, but you're sure let it come to me. But he stood in full confidence. And probably the reason was that foundationally, when it comes to his understanding of God, he didn't have a religion. He had a relationship. He walked with God. He knew God, and he was known by God. And so when he was overwhelmed by his crisis, he knew he could trust God's character. Even though he didn't understand his circumstance, he knew his God. I don't know what's going on, but I know my God. He's the one, Job is the one who said, I know my Redeemer lives. I know God is who God is, and I can trust him. His wife comes with great counsel. Curse God and die. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. Bad theology, good resolve. Trusted him. Because everything passes through the fingers of God, which is good news. For us, that's good news. Prophet Isaiah said this, fear not, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. You are in the hand of God today. Jesus said this about us. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You are in the hands of the God of the universe. You are in Jesus' hand, and you are in God's hand. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. That's a good place to be. Even if we don't understand what's happening around us, even if it's uncomfortable or painful at the time, we are in the hand of God. And he'll see to it that everything that comes will find its right place in its right way. It'll bring him glory, and it'll edify you. It'll build you up. It'll be good for you. You're safe today in the hands of God. No matter what your circumstance may be, no matter what you may be facing, you're safe in the hands of God. I've lived long enough to know that when you can't track him, you can trust him. When you don't know why it's happening, you can trust that there's a God who does, and he'll keep you, and he'll sustain you. Number three in your outline, divine interruptions. Divine interruptions. What's our take home today from Mary? What an unbelievable account. Sometimes it's fun to take scripture, sit back, and just imagine you are the person in that situation. What emotions would you have? What feelings would you have? What would be going on in your mind? So something that I think we could take home from Mary today that's the focal part of our lesson is that God moves in our lives by interruption more than by appointment. God moves in our lives more by interruption than by appointment. Think about it. Think of some of the men and women in Scripture. God didn't make an appointment with them. I have something for your life. Let's meet next Tuesday at 3 o'clock, and I'll tell you about it. God, for the big stuff in life, God didn't leave it up to an appointment because he knew he couldn't trust us enough. If we knew an appointment with God was coming up, we'd mess it up. He didn't do it. Noah was just raising his family. And then suddenly God says, hey, by the way, I want you to build an ark. Whatever that is. Abraham is just carrying on the family business of making idols. And God says, I want you to leave. I want you to go to another place that I'll tell you about on the way. Don't worry about it. Moses and David were both different callings, but they were both doing the same thing at the time. They were both tending sheep. And Moses sees a bush, and the bush starts talking to him. David's called back home from the field, and there's this prophet who pours oil over his head, says, you're going to be the king of Israel. That's an interruption. God damn it, doesn't make appointments. Gideon is, he's threshing wheat in a wine press because they're living in caves and they're hiding from their enemies and they're just not in good shape. And in the middle of it, God shows up. The angel shows up and says, oh, great, mighty man of valor. Who, me? That's an interruption. You know, Peter and Andrew, they're just fishing. They're just taking care. That's their livelihood. And suddenly Jesus walks along and says, hey, follow me. God doesn't make appointments. He doesn't make appointments. He makes interruptions into our lives. Now, even the interruptions he doesn't cause, not everything that comes our way he causes, he's the source of, but even the interruptions he doesn't cause, he'll use to bring significant things out of our lives. He'll use them. So this is where I boil it down to. If that's his MO, if that's how God acts and moves, then I think we need to rethink what we think about interruptions. I think we need to take pause and we need to reevaluate how we think about those little interruptions that come in life, big or large. We know that God is a God who knows the end from the beginning. That means there's nothing that happens that surprises him. Interruptions are only a surprise to you. He knows the end from the beginning, all right? The Bible also tells us that our steps are ordered by the Lord. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. It doesn't say every step we take is ordered by the Lord. We can be rebellious. We can be self-willed. But the steps of the righteous that are really committing and following and with all their ability are following hard after the Lord, their steps are ordered. So if I'm the part of the righteous, and God knows the end from the beginning, and I take a step, and it brings something into my life that I say is an interruption, that I would easily dismiss, that I would easily excuse, that I would immediately label as a bad thing, or a harmful thing, or a negative thing, or a disruptive thing, before I can do that now, I have to stop and pause. Does this thing have any divine implications attached to it? What is this thing really about? See, we need to start thinking of interruptions in our life the same way we think about thoughts in our life. Take everyone captive. Hold it up to the scrutiny of God, of his word, of his character, of his nature, and listen to his voice and see if there's something in this that I can use this interruption for his glory. That I can respond or handle or walk through this interruption in a way that brings honor to God. See, in the text, we're talking about Mary. What feels like an interruption is actually an invitation. We look at it and we see what's being offered. We say, well, that's an interruption to life. No. At the front end, Mary thought that because she was fearful and she was even a little upset, saying, what on earth are you talking about? She said she was troubled. But as she heard, and as she meditated, as she thought about it, she realized this isn't an interruption. This has invitation attached to it. There's an invitation here for me to move in an area that I've not moved before, to be used by God in a way that I could never orchestrate on my own. Listen, she didn't go in some kind of trance. She was aware of what was being told and asked of her. She understood, I'm sure, in a moment's notice when, as the angel described to her what was going to happen, she understood that this was going to erase every plan she had for her life. This was going to alter and change everything. That there was going to be difficulties with this thing. I've got to go tell my fiancé I'm pregnant and I'm still a virgin. And I've got to live with this thing. And listen, Mary's entire life, there were still many people, I'm sure, who felt that she got pregnant out of wedlock. And in all honesty, out of all of humanity, Mary is the only human being who actually really knows. Even Joseph didn't know for sure. He just followed and obeyed what God told him to do. She knew what the price was going to be, but she counterbalanced that with the privilege of what God was asking of her. Mary, I want you to carry my life. I want you to be a repository of my life. I want to birth something through you into the earth that's going to save the world. And she said, This is different than an interruption. This is an opportunity that I can't pass up. See, so what if many of the eruptions that come into our lives are really invitations? Invitations for that same process to happen. Not that we're going to physically or in the natural get pregnant, but what if it's an invitation where the life of God could be reflected through us to a world of darkness? What if that interruption, we recognize that there's an invitation attached here? Even if it's annoying, even if it's demanding, even if it's disruptive, before we just say, this is bad because it's interrupting my flow in life, before we do that, what if we actually treated it as an invitation? An invitation to obey God. An invitation to trust Him more, even in something I don't understand. An invitation to serve Him or serve others in some unique way. An invitation to give out of generosity and compassion for somebody or something. What if we saw it as an invitation to build our character? That this interruption could actually teach me something about humility. It could be an opportunity for me to surrender my plans and my agenda and my will to a higher purpose and a higher will. Maybe it's an opportunity to just stand for righteousness. Maybe we could look at that as an invitation for our faith to be stretched in some area. To believe God for something that we can't see in the moment. To trust Him with it. To just wait in hope. You know how hard that is sometimes? To wait in hope. The only thing harder than waiting in hope is waiting without hope. And He's always there to be our hope. Maybe it's an invitation to step out of the boat and move in some area that God wants to lead you to. Something that God wants to do in your life. Let's stand. You need to stand with me. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life. But I know all of us deal with interruptions from time to time on various levels. The question it leads us to is, how do we make that change? How do we make that shift from really evaluating and looking at everything that comes into our life? How do we not just maybe even in dismissing or mishandling interruptions, missing God, missing something unique that He wants to do in our lives? There may be some folks here today that are dealing with some kind of an interruption. They got news about something. They're in some kind of circumstance, relationally, financially, physically. And it's unwelcomed, it's unwanted, and it's interrupted life. How do we process that? How do we make this shift? Mary made this statement that I think is the key to all of it. She processed it all. She felt the weight of the interruption. She was willing to, by faith, believe that this interruption had more to it than just that. And she said this, "Be it unto me according to your word." God, I don't fully understand all this. It doesn't really all make sense to me. It's totally unexpected. Unplanned, uncharted. But God, I believe you're in it. So whatever you want, I'm just here. I'm your handmaiden. I'm your servant. Do what you will with me. If it brings you glory, it doesn't really matter what it costs me. If it brings you glory, be it unto me. That's the difference. That's the shift we have to make in our thinking. That whatever comes in life, good, bad, things we enjoy, things we hate, that's not the question. The question is, God, how can I handle this in such a way that your life can be seen through mine? That you can be reflected through me and pierce the darkness of the world around me, so that your will's done, so that your name's glorified, so that you're exalted and lifted up in the earth, and so that men are drawn to you. People are edified, built up, and strengthened. That's called surrender. I'm going to close in just a minute. I want you to do me a favor. If you're dealing with an interruption in your life today,